We obviously are facing a very difficult time in South Africa. We're quite behind the rest of the world with respect to finding a vaccine against the COVID-19 virus. And at the same time, we found a strain here in South Africa, very much like you do in many countries. There was one found in Brazil. There was one found in the UK. But the a particular strain, 501YV2, with greater transmissibility and greater efficiency than the initial variant. It is a misnomer to call it the South Africa strain or South Africa variant. It's not actually a strain. But one of the people who led the charge in discovering that variant that we now know as 501YV2 is Professor Tulio de Oliveira, who has been here on the show before. He is a bioinformatician as well as the director of CRISP at the Nelson Mandela School of Medicine in UKZN. Not only has this been discovered here in SA, it's also been popped up in the USA, in the UK, and I think now there is a list of some 20 countries indicating its presence. We've discussed this with Professor Karim, our concerns that some vaccine manufacturers are suggesting that this variant may be resistant to them. But let's leave it to Professor to give us a wrap on this morning. Professor, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So you were quite key in the discovery of this particular variant. We understand from scientists and epidemiologists and bioinformaticians like yourself that hundreds of variants are popping up all the time with respect to, as with any virus, with respect to COVID-19's virus. How was it discovered that this one was going to be so impactful?
Okay. So what we have been doing, and this is the work of hundreds of scientists, not only me, including also both universities at UCT and Stellenbosch in Cape Town. We have been every week since February last year doing what we call genomic surveillance. What it means? It means that every week we sample virus across the country and we generate and we sequence the genome of the virus and we identify which kind of lineage of SARS-CoV-2 is circulating in South Africa. So that allows us to know how the virus arrived in South Africa. Not surprising, 80% of the introductions came from Europe. Why Europe? Because they were having the large number of infections in the beginning of last year, around March, and many of your listeners may remember. And also the international air traffic outside the continent of Africa, 8% is to Europe. So we could understand that, and we keep following these lineages every month. And normally what we had in South Africa, we had 20, 30, 40 different lineages always co-circulating, and all of them at very small prevalence. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, and that we are following a tip from clinicians from a Netcare hospital in the Nelson Mandela Bay, that we're seeing very fast increase of cases in the beginning of November. And so we decided to increase the genomic surveillance in that area. And then what we found was very different. We found that in that area, and was confirmed then in the Garden Route in Cape Town and KwaZulu-Natal, that all the other 20, 30, 40 lineages, they almost disappear. And only this variant, the 501Y.V2, start to circulate and dominate all the infections, which is also associated with the very fast increase of our second wave.
And yet, as much as it's getting so much attention, as I say, over 20, I think 23 countries are indicating some prevalence. The variant from the UK has now been detected in some 60 countries, from 10 the previous week, and doesn't seem to be getting quite the same attention. Is it possible to rate these, you know, by potency?
So the first thing, yeah, let's just make quite clear. One of the only reasons why these variants were first identified in South Africa and an independent variant in the UK is because both South Africa and the UK invested in science and technology, yeah, yes, to keep mapping these variants. Yeah. So that's very clear. The second is that it is why the UK variant, or the correct way to call it, the B117 or 501YV1, Yeah. Why it's popping many more countries than the South African one is not because it is more dangerous or more transmissible. We believe both of them have similar transmissibility, yeah? But because London is much more connected to the rest of the world than South Africa. And that's one of the reasons, yeah? And then as the other countries increase the genomic surveillance, you may be aware that a week and a half ago was detected a new variant, first in Japan, in Tokyo. And when they dig, they realize that were travelers that were coming from the Amazon area, the capital of Manaus, and then they identify another one in Manaus. This week, they also identify another variant in California that they call the CAL20C. So we are likely to see this variant emerging, eh? And they are very different from the other lineages because they have a very much a higher number of mutations where should not have this mean in the spike glycoprotein. That's the main protein of the virus that binds our receptor in our human cells to cause infection.
Professor, it's going to be difficult for us to stay on top of the next CAL26, the next Manaus, the next 501YV1, considering how often and how prolifically these mutate. What's the best advice you'd give us to keep cool heads, not panic, and just try and remain resilient to all of these likely further mutations and variants that we're going to see?
Okay. The first thing is that panic do not help the response. So people shouldn't panic, yeah. But what we should do, both in South Africa, and we are also helping a big global movement, is to try to really increase the response to this virus. What it means, really increase, yeah. We have to realize that the vaccines have to be scaled up much quicker than we expect because, as you know, yesterday we just heard a very sad news about one of the president's spokesmen dying in South Africa.
The
vaccine, the main objective is to save lives. Yeah. So the main objective of a vaccine is not to stop transmission, but to make people that get infected not sick. Yeah. In the same time, we have to also increase what we call our public health response. More testing, good contact tracing, isolation, quarantine, supporting people to do that. And the public has to come hands in hands with this response and also really keeping avoiding big gatherings, yeah, using masks and sanitizing. So basic, all variants, it's a big wake-up call to the world to take this virus very seriously and try to decrease transmission to almost zero as quick as possible.
Then in keeping with that goal, Professor, my final question to you is, for as long as we're still trying to figure this out, with respect to our public health response, for as long as we're still waiting for vaccines, is it wise for us to call for the opening of economies and the sale of alcohol and the like, just because we're seeing the numbers coming down in terms of daily cases in South Africa?
So it's always a very difficult task to
Professor?
Get what we call. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you clearly. Yes, please,
yeah,
Professor.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So just to conclude, yeah, it is always a very difficult task to get the response well and perfect. Yeah. So because we have to keep running our economy, especially in a country like South Africa that have a large number of population that's deprived, yeah? But we also have to protect the healthcare system, yeah? So what we have to do is still taking very serious this virus, yeah? And as we see the numbers going down, is not the time to relax. It is not the time to try to compensate with outings and partings and seeing people. It's the time to take even more serious to